We're moving into a time now of obedience to the living God. Jesus, when I say moving into a time, this has always been His desire. That the church be led by the living Christ. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. Just like our mind sends instructions down the nervous system to our fingers and our toes and all parts of our body, so the Holy Spirit brings the mind of Christ to every member of His body. And we're to flow in unison with the mind of Christ. Now, He's going to finish doing what He's doing here, but I feel a release to give a short exhortation here this morning. It's something that'll really, it'll help you leapfrog over a lot of unnecessary wasted years. Open up your Bibles to Luke 6. And put a marker also in Luke 15. Now, the subject matter is still you and the Holy Spirit. In the 8:30 service this morning was on this subject in a different aspect of it than what he's going to talk about now. But see, ultimately, each and every one of us are going to stand before the Lord ourselves. And I really pray that Dave fulfills his call. Don't you all want him to fulfill his call? I hope you all are praying for Sue and I that we'll fulfill our call. But see, our heart's desire, and so is Dave's, is that each one of you, not only here in this building, but everyone who has affiliated themselves with this message, that each one of you fulfill your call. See, because ultimately it's not going to do for you to stand there that day. I mean, there's really only two choices. I mean, this is real easy to see. Either you led yourself through life by your mind, or you received instructions from the Holy Ghost and was led through life by the mind of Christ. You either followed His plan or your plan. Now, either one is blessed. I'll be honest with you. And if it's not, the whole world would really be in trouble, because the Lord revealed to Kenneth Hagin, says, not just the sheep, most shepherds, most ministers live and die, spend their whole life, and never enter the first phase of their ministry. And what does that mean? Well, they did a lot of good things for the Lord that was not really the Lord's instructions for them. Now, in great detail, we went through that to some degree this morning, and that's about all I'm going to say about it at this point. But there's a particular aspect that can be done very quickly here that'll save you years if you'll pay attention. Now, before I even begin this message, because I know I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices, by the end of this, he might try and tell some of you that I'm not a big fan of the Word of God. Boy, if you begin thinking that, you just don't know me very well. I believe if you have not yet assimilated Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the least, you're way behind on your homework. What does assimilate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John means? That means you've read each one of those through from beginning to end minimum 30 times. Not necessarily at that time trying to glean revelation knowledge from them. You know, and if you don't understand a word, it's okay to go get a dictionary, even a Greek dictionary, and find out what that word means. But do not at this point start getting into the commentaries. You know, all you're really doing is equipping yourself for day and night meditation. I firmly believe, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then Acts, and then the rest of the New Testament. Equip yourself for day and night meditation. But now everybody starts off with this tendency, including me, because we tend to be formula-minded. We almost begin taking the words of Jesus And can I use the word codifying? We start putting them into categories. This is how you give. This is how you fast. This is how you pray. This is how you do this. And without intending to do it, we wind up trying to make a law out of the New Testament, much like there really was a law out of the Old Testament. By codifying it, and we're trying to come up with, and I fell into it for years, the first several years, trying to understand how to function. Because the reason that we do it, we want to obey Christ, do we not? So we go, well, we start studying, and we should study. Again, I'm telling you, in my opinion, you're way behind. You're already behind on your homework if you have not, at this point, assimilated Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But now let me show you what you're going to run into, trying to codify it, trying to come up with these things. Now, for example, Luke chapter 6, real familiar. And we'll just look at a particular verse here. Now, let's start in verse 27. Let's start in 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Now, verse 30 is the one I'm after. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Boy, is that straightforward or what? Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now, especially the first part of that verse. Give to every man that asketh of thee. In the beginning, I mean, how plain is that? Give to every man that asks of you. Made up my mind I was going to do that. Soon as Sue and I made up our mind that we was going to do that, without even telling anybody, somehow the devil knew we made that decision. And every bum in Tulsa, every lazy person who is able to carry a job but not working, started lining up at our door because we were under the law of, in our own mind, give to every man that asketh of thee. And the devil was killing me with that, just killing me with that scripture, beating me over the head. Now, see, here's the problem with this. Now, if you have a red letter edition, is that red? Right, in the same book, go over to Luke 15, and let's look at some more red letters. That means they came out of the same lips. Which means they came out of the same mind. Which means that Jesus is not confused, we are. Now, right there it says, give to every man that asketh of thee. Boy, now if you make a law out of that, now, that's what I mean by codify it. Okay, I'm separating the separating all the sayings of Jesus into these categories, and I'm making my own law now. Thank you very much. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Okay, I got it. Uh-huh. Well, out of the same lips over here, when he's teaching about the prodigal son, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You know the story. And let's just pick it up here in verse 13. Luke 15:13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And notice, and no man gave unto him. Hunger is a great motivator. This guy is in complete rebellion against God. Thank God nobody gave to him. Notice in the next verse. Because nobody gave to him and he continued in his impoverished condition. I mean, there's nothing lower to a Jew than feeding pigs. And then when you've got so low, you're about to eat pig food. In your mind, that makes you lower than the pig. And suddenly, he came to himself. Some people have to hit bottom. Some people have to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times. And God's not calling you to feed those that are on husks when they're in full rebellion knowingly. That's why the New Testament says, those that will not eat, it doesn't say, I mean, will not work. Those that will, they are using their will. I choose not to work. And they're able-bodied and not full-time in the ministry. Don't even have lunch with them. Make them ashamed. But I have a code. I have a law. I have already read in Luke 6 that I'm to give to every man that asketh of me, Gary. It says it. Look right here, Gary. Look. That's what the devil used to do to my mind. Every bum that come to the door. Not a one of them wasn't Christian. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Giveth to every man that asketh of thee. Now, why was I doing that? Because I knew how to read better than I knew how to hear. See, you don't need a relationship with the Holy Ghost to obey Luke 6. Oh, I'm getting a white hanky now. I'm getting a white hanky on that one. This is why it won't work, people. You're going to drive yourself nuts trying to figure out a law. He's not called you to follow a law. He's called you to follow Him. Amen. He is alive and well, and you're either going to have a relationship with Him or you're going to have a lot of frustrated years. Now, I believe in the Word of God. Boy, if you just don't know me very well if you think otherwise. Anyone that ever comes in here on Monday nights or Friday nights and watch us pray, you'll see me reading my Bible at the same time. I'm reading. I'm assimilating these books myself. But I have learned how to find out His mind. Now, you greatly assist the Holy Ghost by equipping your spirit with the Word of God, especially the New Covenant. Especially the New Covenant. Don't even, until you've read the new, all of them, starting with Matthew, all the way through, 30 times at least, you don't really have any business being in the Old Testament. Okay? I mean, Peter and James thought they understood that. Now, you know, here they come to this certain town and Jesus is needing to stay at the Motel 6. And they wouldn't even rent him a room in Samaria, wasn't it? You know? I mean, that would be the modern-day equivalent. He was going to stay at the motel, and they were, oh, we're not even going to let you have a room. Why? Because you're a Jew. Well, James and John thought they understood, too, because all they knew was the Old Covenant. Shall we call down fire from heaven and consume these people that won't rent us a room at the Motel 6? And Jesus just looks at them and says, you don't even know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I come to save them, even those that won't rent me the room. Love your enemies. Do good to those. Here we go, see? Let me give you some more examples. I'm going to get it straight through your head. This is going to save you years now. Quit codifying the Word of God. That's why I mean, when I keep saying, quit trying to figure it out and go pray it out. Feed your spirit. Soul, the Word of God. Get it in there. But your understanding comes primarily from the Holy Ghost. And that's why He gave you a prayer language. Praying in other tongues is where He reveals all those mysteries to you. And you're going to have a living relationship where you hear Him. You hear Him yourself. He's alive. Do you think if you'd have been on your way to feed the prodigal son? Oh, there's one that there's. See, human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for His compassion. Now, what do you think that God would have thought that in that example, there's the prodigal. Boy, does he need to come to himself. He is hit bottom. He has bounced a couple of times. In his mind, he's lower than the pigs he's feeding. And here some little soul comes. Oh, I'm going to go take him some money. Now, you talk about out of the will of God. And at the same time, that person thinks they're in the will of God. Even the world has caught on to that. They have a name for it. They call it empowerment. Oftentimes, we empower people to remain in the rebellion. Let me give you some other examples. Why it won't work. Turn to Mark 5. We look all the time through the Word of God where Jesus would, He'd walk up to Peter and He'd say, come and follow me. Walked up to Matthew at the tax collector's table while he's at work. Follow me. And all through this, just, and then not only the 12, but it says there were many people that followed Him. So we all, you know, to follow Jesus, you're going to be in a traveling ministry. Isn't that right? Because they traveled everywhere. So, I mean, we can't imagine that it would ever be wrong to go follow Jesus. But now watch this. Y'all know the madman of Gadara, the guy that was in the tombs and cut himself. And, you know, he was so possessed with devils. He's the one when Jesus, he sent the devils out. Those devils went into the swine and then they run into the sea. I mean, you talk about a devil-possessed guy. This was a devil-possessed guy. Jesus cast the devils out. The guy is seated there in his right mind and clothed. I mean, what a miracle. And if you'd been that guy, it doesn't tell us how many years he lived out there in the tombs. Wouldn't you be not only thankful, but I'll be honest with you, there'd be a little bit in me that says, I don't ever want to get in that shape again. The safest thing for me to do is follow Jesus. Man, I'm going to stay right where you are. I want to be with you. Wouldn't you want to be there? So, and we would never think it's wrong to go follow Jesus. But now notice this. We'll pick up the story. Verse 17. Mark 5. He's already cast out the pigs have already run off and choked. Okay? Verse 5:17. They begin to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him. That means he asked him that he might be with him. All the man is saying is, Jesus, can I come and follow you? I want to go with you, Jesus. Can I come and follow you? And in our minds, he would never say no. But look at what he says to him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, he says, he did not allow it. And he said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. In other words, he's having fruit over there. Now see, here we go again. The mind of man. Normally we'd say, boy, it's a good thing to follow Jesus. Yet in this case, here comes this man. I mean, how many people did Jesus say it to? Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Here comes a man. I want to follow you. No, you can't follow me. Now how are you going to codify this? How are you going to make a universal law for every occasion out of this? Some he calls to a traveling ministry. Some he calls and says, win your city. And you can't make a universal law. He's alive and well. He's He's got instructions for you. Kelly Bell, raise your hand. Stand up. Stand up. Kelly Bell. There's beautiful Kelly Bell back there. Glory to God. One of the humblest servants you'll ever find in the kingdom of God. Now, she just serves and loves serving the Lord and no glory for it or anything. Now, I've known Kelly for ever since we started here at the church. She was in the prayer line Wednesday night. Wasn't that Wednesday? And we were praying. We come down to Kelly and she says, "Now, just pray and see if you get anything." I hate it when they do that. Tell me what it is to pray for. You know? You know why I hate it? Because now I got to rely on the Holy Ghost. But see, years of practice, when I say practice, I mean practice. Years of praying in the Holy Ghost, doing what is on Dave's two tape set out there, again, called Distinguishing God's Voice. I just can't tell you how long I did that with no fruit, like you have no fruit. Everyone tells me it don't work. No, you haven't done it long enough yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is for the whole church. It doesn't work for me and not for you. You are not special. There is a new nature on the inside of you that is able to communicate with the Holy Ghost. And it may take time. It took me a long time. But you'll get to the place on the inside of you where you'll begin to pick up His voice or pick up the visions and the dreams that He gives to you. He communicates in many ways. But there is a place in you. It comes part and parcel with the new nature, but it takes practice. What happens is your spirit gets in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. That communication is going. Your mind, your understanding at that point is unfruitful. But if you will allow me, it's almost like as you continue that, and especially if you'll practice what's on those two tapes, it's like eventually a projector begins projecting talkies, talking movies, on the screen of your mind. And there's a place where the connection is made from the realm of the spirit to the realm of your natural mind. Now, the reason I brought up Kelly Bell, now just think of the tens of thousands of things that could be on her mind. She could be standing in proxy for somebody. I'm looking her over. I mean, if she had a cast, maybe that'd give me a clue. I don't know what to pray for. In the natural, she's not giving me any clue whatsoever. I don't know. You know, now, there's some instructions that the Holy Spirit has taught me. Not trying to make a law out of it, but He told me in that stage, what He means is standing there trying to receive information from the Holy Ghost and learning the difference between that and clairvoyancy. There is such things as familiar spirits, and you got to learn the difference, you know. So one of the things He told me, and don't get all upset about it, but He told me not to lay hands on them during that information gathering process. So I was real careful not to touch her, you know, not trying to do anything weird. And then all of a sudden, I saw her son John driving a car. It's that place that I've learned through practice where to look on the screen of my soul for the projector. That's why I say now, in the old days, I was looking, you know that song, looking for love in all the wrong places? Well, I used to look for His leading in all the wrong places. And it took a long time for me to locate, Dave calls it on those tapes, the ear of your spirit. And that's a good way to say it, but it's really more than that. It's the consciousness. You have a spiritual mind on the inside of you, just like you have a natural mind. That spiritual mind is the one that's in communication with the Holy Ghost when you're praying in other tongues. But eventually, that your spirit begins understanding the information, and the transfer is made. To me, it's like an image, some kind, projected on the screen of your mind. So I just saw John, think again, of the thousands of things that she could possibly be standing there for. The Holy Ghost shows me a picture of John driving a car, and I didn't know what it meant. I said, Kelly, does John have a car? She said, well, that's what I'm here for you to pray about. The car was missing, stolen or something. It's gone anyway. You want to come tell it? Good, come tell it, because I just know a little bit. I had trouble. When she told me that, I had trouble standing still. I wanted to have a daisy running fit, because I knew that it was impossible for me to know that information without the Holy Ghost giving it to me. And it's coming from the mind of Christ. He knows everything. You tell it, because I just barely know.
John has this little habit every so often. If he gets tired or something, if he's with his friends, he'll just let him take his car and tell him to come right back. Well, this particular, we've told him not to do it. He had a doctor's appointment, and I said, John, I've got to go with Dad, but do not leave the house. He said, I won't, Mom. I said, don't leave the house. So we come home. We didn't see John's car, and I thought, oh, he's left the house. And all of a sudden, he comes out of his room. He said, Mom, I just let him drive the car for a minute. They should have been back. They'll be here soon. I said, well, we got to go to the doctor's. So we came home, and this particular friend I had never met before, we came home, and there's still no car. And Tim said, well, somebody called, and she said that she ran out of gas, but she was on her way with the car. Well, there's still no car. So John says, well, Mom, don't do anything. And so I said, well, Tim, we're going to have to call the police. I said, because you don't know with these kids. It could be parked somewhere. I don't know. So before I came to church, I thought, should I go to church? I thought, I'm just going. So anyway, so when I came to church, I thought, oh, boy, what if that car's parked somewhere in Tulsa and they're bashing in the windows? So anyways, when I went home, the car still wasn't home. Gary had prayed, like he said. So I told my husband what Gary had said, and I told my son, well, John was relieved. He was ready to go with another friend. Tim said, might as well just let him go. There's no car. So I went to sleep, and usually I'm the one that stays up and prays and worries. Well, I could hear, I pray and wait. Well, so Tim was up. Officer Lemon called me and said, I'm still working on that car, Mrs. Bell. I said, oh, that's great. That's good. And he said, I did get a hold of the person, and they did run out of gas, and it's such and such place. And I said in my sleep, Tim, I think the car is over at such and such place. Well, Tim couldn't find it. But anyways, in the middle of the night while I was sleeping, the girl came to the door with the car keys and brought back the car. And it wasn't marked or anything. But the thing was, is I had never met that girl before. So I didn't know if my son's generosity, if somebody had just taken it and made a harebrained excuse or what. But the car came back and I got to sleep all night.
Hallelujah. Now, you mean the God of the universe? I mean, isn't he way too busy to be concerned about John's car? Now, I didn't know any of the details. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you, I'm trying to dangle a carrot in front of you. That kind of information is available all the time. All the time. Direct communication. I'm thrilled that out of the tens of thousands of things that she could possibly be standing there needing prayer for, that God the Holy Ghost would show me John driving a car. And so at that point, all she said, well, that's what I'm here praying about. John's car is missing. And I said, well, I see him driving one. Apparently it's coming back. That's all I knew at the time. And then I come down Friday night for prayer, and as I'm leaving, Kelly just whispers, John's car is back. That's all I knew. I didn't know any of these details. Now, the reason you're having trouble we all want to obey the Lord. I don't want to disobey Him. I want to give every time that I should give to anybody. But boy, I do not want to be the guy who gives to the prodigal. That's getting close to coming to himself. And I do not want to be the guy that gives to him and empowers him to remain in his rebellion. And that's why you're going to have trouble trying to live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You've got to have a relationship. One of the phrases I said this morning, if we're just going to live our life without his leadership, we could have stayed at the first church and done that. You don't need the baptism in the Holy Ghost to do that. Now, Let me show you one more example of the impossibility of trying to do it any other way than relationship. Now, again, please, I am telling you, I'm exhorting you, I'm encouraging you. Get the Word, then get the New Testament in you. Make a plan. I'd like to know what month of what year you're going to be through assimilating the New Testament. You're way too quiet. What month of what year will you complete the assignment of reading every book in the New Testament 30 times? There's 20 some odd books. If you started today, and let's just say you did one a month, that's at least 2 years out. You're still way too quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Matthew is a big book. You'd be doing good to assimilate that one in 30 days. You have to read it every day. Anyway, let me give you another assignment. Or another example. Now I forgot it myself. Hang on here a minute. Oh, okay. Go to the last chapter of Mark and then open Acts 16. Not going to be able to do this without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You're going to live a life of confusion and always wondering if you're doing the right thing. There's been times when the Holy Spirit would right at bedtime, at 10 o'clock, getting ready for bed, and the Holy Spirit, He would come. No, don't go to bed. Start gathering up groceries. Put them in sacks. Go to this house in another town. They don't have any food in the house. And here we go, you know, learning. Now, by the way, did y'all make any mistakes, Gary and Sue? Did y'all ever, you know, did you miss it? Oh, yeah, you're going to, too. That's okay. It's still better than not ever getting there at all. You know, you learn a lot of times for as much as from your mistakes as when you don't miss it. Oh, yeah, sure. Could give you lots of examples. But boy, I'll tell you, they're getting more and more fewer and far between all the time. I know there is a place where you can be just led all the time by the Holy Ghost now. Even in the smallest affairs of life. Like John's car. See, now Kelly, I love you. You know that. See, the day will come when Kelly won't have to get in the line. She won't have to stay up and worry. She'll have that same little vision her own self. They say, okay, no, John's car's coming back. I see him driving the car. It's however he shows it to you. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. All right, now. Mark, what chapter is that? 16. Now, verses 15 and 16 could be chiseled over the door of every church building of the denomination I grew up in. Now, not verses 17 and 18. I don't know why not those two verses. You know, why not those verses? Trust me, no tongues, no casting out devils, no laying hands on the sick. I don't know why. Not those verses. But boy, 15 and 16, you can chisel them right over the door in stone, man. This is what we believe. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Man, so the denomination I grew up in, if you feel the call of God on your life and you wind up going to some type of schooling, Bible training of some kind, probably in Shawnee, Oklahoma, anyway, or wherever, depending on your denomination. And the idea being is that one day you're going to graduate. Well, now you got to go into the world and preach the gospel. And the way I was trained and the way they're trained as well, I mean, they do pray, all right. And I'm not saying not any of them ever hits it. But most of the time, you pretty well decide where you're going to go yourself. Well, I've really prayed, but I think what I'm going to do is go here. I'm going to go to Ecuador. I'm going to go into the godforsaken place of New Jersey, or, you know, someplace, you know, wherever it is. I'm just teasing. I could, you know, pick something. And that's the way that that it always was. You go, you know, because you have a mandate. They go right to this. Well, here we have it. We have a blanket approval. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. There we have it. Red letters from his lips. Go. We have an approval. And it doesn't really matter. Just go ye into all the world. You just go. All right? Then, go to Acts 16. And let's see if that's what he meant. Now here's Paul and Silas. They have finished their most recent assignment from the Lord. They don't know exactly what to do next. So they're, let's see what happens here. In fact, we'll just back up here so that you could see this. Start in verse 4. Acts 16:4, it says, as they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees for to keep, that they were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, so they're teaching. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So all is well. They've been doing that assignment. Now, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout, and I apologize for my pronunciation of these names. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now notice, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Wait a minute. Time out. Doctrine check. Do we not have a mandate back here in Mark 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Isn't Asia part of the world? And so we're going to go preach the gospel in Asia. What do you think about that, Holy Ghost? I forbid it. What? You know why the Holy Ghost forbids it? Because Jesus is forbidding it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He's not going to speak of His own authority. What He hears, that's what He speaks. Now the reason that the Holy Spirit forbids it at that moment, that wasn't the present hour mind of the Lord. Now later on, at a later time, let me just show you. Keep your place there. Go to Acts 19, verse 10. I'm going to show you later on. The Lord did send Paul to Asia, and he stayed there by the space of two years. Acts 19, verses 9 and 10. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in where? Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And that's Paul at Ephesus. Ephesus is at that time is called Asia. It was included in Asia. So at a later time, the Lord does send Paul to Asia, and he's for 2 years he taught and ministered the word of God there. Now back up to 16 again. Just want you to see this now. Yeah. But I have a mandate. I have Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now if you hold to that too much, you can actually wind up overriding the Holy Ghost. I forbid it. I'm going anyway. Why? Because I have the written word for it. Again, if you think I'm against the written word, you don't know Gary Carpenter very well. I feed on it all the time, all the time, all the time. But my Lord is alive and well. He didn't die at the cross, except He was resurrected and is seated at the right hand of power today, and I'm supposed to get my instructions from the living Christ. Just the way they're doing it here. Well, so the Holy Ghost forbade them to go to Asia? So they're going, well, look at the next verse. Verse 7. And they were come to Mysia. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed. Now, that's a King James word. Assay means, you know, you've seen the scales where they bring in the ore from the gold mines. Rudy knows all about this. And you bring it to the assayer, and they weigh it in the balance. Well, what they're saying is, all right, he's saying, don't go to Ephesus. What about, we're thinking about, we're weighing Perhaps we should go to Bithynia. They're thinking about going to Bithynia, another region. Now notice, but the Spirit, capital S, and it should be capital S there, the Holy Spirit, King James says, suffered them not. That means He did not allow it. Now the Holy Spirit is not suggesting to them. Forbid is a pretty strong word. Suffered them not means no. He's not saying, well, I sort of suggest that you might think about maybe not going there at this time. It just might not be the prudent thing to do. And so just think about it and maybe no. He's going, no! See, that's the same thing that's happened with Sue and I. With somebody knock at the door since we've left the arena of formula. One time Sue was come out and she can tell this better than me. I'd get it. Come here, baby. When he's going to give that guy your conies, you know? Remember that deal? Just tell him about that deal.
Okay. Well, I was down at the Coney Island place, and this
Carl's Coney Island. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing right now. Anyway, go ahead.
And this, I could tell that he was homeless. Gary and I, ever since we had gotten saved, you know, had been givers and given food and everything. We had learned some to hear the Holy Spirit. And so I just said, Lord, would you like for me to give him my conies? I can just go back in and get some more or give him some money or something. And I kept listening and listening, and I said, I'll just go give him my conies at least. And the Holy Spirit said, no, real strong. And it was as though you would yell at a baby that was getting close to a fire. Right after that, this man he was a big man, and he just started walking down the sidewalk, and he was ranting and raving and just mumbling at the same time sometimes. And I watched him for a while, and then I went in the Coney place, and I asked them if they had seen him before, and she said, he comes in here all the time, and we feed him. I said, but he's not right. So anyway, he kept me from danger by doing that. I mean, it seemed like such a small thing to me to give somebody conies or give somebody money that needed something to eat. But
tell about the one where he said that would be adding to
it. Oh, okay. Okay.
And another time, as we were learning these things, it's been a few years back, he spoke to me during a service. And he'll teach you lots during the service about who to pray for. I mean, just as Angie ministered to that lady, we're all hands. I mean, just we're all part of the body of Christ. And he needs us to do certain things during services and outside of services. He'll tell you who to pray for, what to pray about concerning them. As you come into a service, just be attentive to what he's speaking to you. Or he might tell you to give them money. But he had spoken to me, I want you to give that woman $20. And I said, okay, but Lord, I don't think I have $20 in my purse. And right at that second, a lady to my left handed me some money. And I looked at it, and I knew it was more than $20. And I said, I'll just give her all of this. He said very sternly, he said, no. That will be adding to my word. So anyway, just things like that. We're just so thankful for his leading and guiding us. And you have to learn. You don't have any choice to be safe, to keep on the path that he's ordained for you to walk in to fulfill your call. The smallest little things. It's like Gary has taught so much on the progressive obedience. learning to hear His voice, or the cumulative obedience of hearing Him and obeying. Mm-hmm. Just the tiniest little thing.
Give my wife a hand. Did she do good or what? Now, it's good to read the Word of God. Boy, again, I just got to keep coming back to that. What he's trying, but your leadership, see, those that are led by the Spirit of God. First comes the leadership of the new nature. Because really in that verse, that's Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's little s. First, the conscience. First, he has to conquer us. First, that kind of bowing the knee. But then as you progressively do that, then comes that leadership of the Holy Spirit through the same place in you. As you bow the knee to Him, and it doesn't start off at the million-dollar level normally. I mean, it might for millionaires. Maybe for them it does. I don't know. But for the ones that I've met, it's obedience in everything. It could be as little as a coney. I was telling him there's been times he had to sack up groceries when it was bedtime, go clear across to another city and take it. I've told you that before. That's just, there's been many times like that. There's been other times when I, in the early days especially, where I just flat missed it and loaned people money or gave them money because I was still bound by give to every person that asked you. And it was no more God than nothing. And you can go, goodbye, money. And also go, goodbye, reward. Remember, been there? I'm not even going to take a show of hands. been there. It won't work. Here's how you do it. You don't... God's not after us coming up with a New Testament formal law to walk by. We are to feed His words our spirit. His words our life. Feed them into you by assimilating the New Testament. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Learn to obey Him in the smallest things. Be willing to look like a fool. Be willing to make some mistakes. And I want you to carry this last image, and we'll let you go now. I mean, y'all have seen how we are with our grandchildren. Lindsay's back there. She's my oldest grandchild. Y'all don't see her as much. Stand up, Lindsay. Look how pretty my oldest granddaughter is. That's my granddaughter, Lindsay. See, I remember when she was as little as Cole. See, you know, Cole's a little one now. Now, see, we've all been so brainwashed to think God is such a cruel taskmaster. He is your Father. He loves you more than I love Lindsay, and I love Lindsay a lot. Now, I remember when Lindsay was getting ready to start walking. Man, I mean, you know, any of your children, your grandchildren, and man, you can't wait, can you, till that first day? And little toddler goes over by the coffee table. Here comes the hand, and they get up and they steady themselves, and they're kind of rocking like this, maybe got one hand on the coffee table. And you go, bring the camera. I think this is the day. She's about to walk. Bring the camera. There she is, you know, she's all wobbly. And she's never done this before. And boy, we're in great anticipation. Man, let go of the table, honey. Let go of the table. And she, let go of that table. Take one step. And I think it's the flash bulbs that blind them. Because usually the next step they fall, you know. And what parent or grandparent sees them stumble and fall and runs over there and kicks them and says, you foolish baby. How dare you take a step and fall like that? I'm through with you. I don't want anything to do with you. Is that the way we act? Man, we run over there, pick that baby up. You did good. You did good. You did good. Come on, do it again. Do it again. Come on. Come on. I'll be right here. I'll catch you. Don't you worry, honey. Come on. You know, can't you see that's how God is with you? He don't care if you stumble and make a few mistakes. He's going, come on. Come on. Don't give up. Do it again. Come on now. Come on. Okay. You fell after one step. You'll take two steps the next time. Come on. I'm with you. I'll help you. Don't you worry. I'll fix anything you break. Don't you worry about anything. We'll buy new coffee tables, anything. Don't worry about it. I'll fix anything you break. Just walk for me, honey. Just walk. That's the way your father is. Don't be afraid. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Sue. Hallelujah. Daisy, would you dismiss these people in prayer today?